In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Same message. Pray for us. Okay. Second part of our program this evening, we're going through the whole protocol of these exercises is the following. Might even call it like a tripod. First is the presentation. Usually the first presentation, we've got two because of the material we have to cover. The second would be the sharing after your session next week. You'll be breaking up into groups to do some sharing on your meditations. And the third is what we're going to be spending a lot of time now, and that will be your prayer period. We call that your holy hour. Let's go through that now. Your holy hour, not your happy hour, but your holy hour. Well, it can be a happy holy hour, but make sure that you have the holy hour on, okay? So how is this going to play out? We're going to be giving you every week, we're going to be giving you seven meditations. So you're not going to be spending the hour reading your prayer book or reading the Pietà or making your novena or saying your chaplet or your rosary. Do that also. But your holy hour is going to be done according to the method that we offer to you. So let's go through that. First is you have to set aside some time to pray every day. Set aside some time to pray every day. We call it the holy hour. Fulton Sheen called it the hour of power. Okay? Holy hour, the hour of power. Okay, so when are you going to do it? There are 24 hours in the day, but I would strongly encourage you to do it as early as possible. And for several reasons. First reason is the imitation of Christ. We read that Jesus in Mark chapter 1, he got up way before dawn. And he was absorbed in prayer. What does way before dawn mean? Okay, maybe 3 o'clock, 3:30, no? It's not to say that you have to get up at 3:30 in the morning. But give the Lord your first fruits. Remember Cain and Abel? Abel gave the Lord his first fruits. Who are you? Cain or Abel? Maybe your name is Canabel. Huh? Knock up the Cain and be the Abel, okay? Another reason is if you put off your prayer, you read this even in the Diary of St. Faustina, either you don't do it or you do it poorly. You want to give the Lord your best. That might mean you have to get to bed an hour earlier. Okay? So instead of getting to bed at 11, go to bed at 9:45. Okay? Get up an hour earlier. And give that first hour to God. Give that to God. So that's the when. I recommend that you do it early. Another reason why I really suggest early is this. Maybe for you, everything is easy sailing. Your life is just a piece of cake. But I do my holy hour early because it prepares me for the battle. I find that the spiritual life, I love being a priest and religious, but it's a constant battle. Okay. Am I the only one here? Do you have struggles too? So the exercise, the hour, it prepares you for the day to confront the battles and struggles you're going to have to go through. And you're not going to be going through it alone. Rather, you're going to be going through it with Jesus at your side. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Many people carry their cross by themselves, and the cross ends up by crushing them. We want to carry the cross with the Lord. He said, come to me, all of you are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm meek and humble of heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Okay, let's respond to where are you going to do it? Well, the ideal place would be in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament is the best place. But that might not be possible. But maybe it is. I'll give you an invitation. This church, St. Peter Chanel, it's opened up at 4:45 in the morning. There's room for you. There is. If not, I'll find an extra chair for you. Okay. Wouldn't it be great, you know, you show up at 4:45 or 5 o'clock, and then at 6 o'clock, we got the Mass for you. Yeah. Perfect timing. You finish your holy hour and lead you right into Mass. How about that? You kill two birds with one stone, huh? Either your holy hour and it ends with the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and it's all done by 6:25. So I'll see you tomorrow at 4:45. I know what you're saying. If we're not there, start without us, right? See, I see you looking at me with somewhat of a cynical, suspicious look on your countenance, if I can say. Okay, if you're not going to do it in the church, you probably have to find some place in your house. Have your own. The Pope calls it the domestic church is the house. So what you ought to do is, if you're going to do it at home, have a nice image of Jesus. Do you like that picture? Isn't the Sacred Heart beautiful?
Yes.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yes.
And don't cover your neighbor. It's good, so, okay? It is a nice picture. So I have an image of the Sacred Heart, the Divine Mercy. I have an image of maybe Our Lady Guadalupe. You can maybe light a couple of candles. Burn some incense, but not marijuana, okay? You don't want to get high, huh? High, but don't get high. Okay? In a certain sense, you have to kind of create the spiritual milieu. Okay, then you've got your material. Now, when you're praying, you have to kind of warm up to prayer. You have to warm up to prayer. You know, in high school and college, I played baseball. High school and at Villanova, the first year I played baseball, the first year there. And I know this about baseball, about sports. You got to warm up. You pull a muscle, a hamstring, you're out for 5 weeks, no? So spiritual exercise, you have to kind of warm up to it. Ignatius calls them spiritual exercises. So these would be the warm-up steps, okay? You place yourself in the presence of God. Second, Ignatius calls it imagina la mirada del Señor. Imagina la mirada del Señor. Habla español, okay? Imagine the loving gaze of Christ. Say the Hail Mary. Ask the Blessed Mother to pray for you and to pray with you. Pray for you and with you. Then pray to the interior master, who is the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say, Abba, Father. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Surprised you see a priest that knows the Bible pretty well. You said only the Protestants know the Bible, huh? I can hold my turf. Don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say, Abba, Father. So you're warming up. At this juncture, I'd like to make this comment. Is that being a teacher, I can teach you how to pray. I've been teaching since I was 14, so I have a little bit of experience, okay? I can teach you how to pray. But listen, I cannot give you the desire to pray. Can't give that. Sorry. I think one of the greatest graces in my life, ever since I was small, I always liked to pray. And I've never met a child or a teenager in 32 years as a priest that told me that they liked to pray as a teenager or as a child. But I always did. You know, I come from a good family. And I'd be walking to school when I was 14 or 15 in New Jersey. I had to walk 2 miles. I would say the 15 deck of the rosary when I was walking to school as a freshman or a sophomore. You know? I just reasoned, instead of thinking about dumb things, I'll talk to Mary. Much better, right? To Mama Mary, right? So I can teach you how to pray. But I can't give you the desire. You've got to beg for that. You've got to beg for that. So I have to say that right now, I'll pray for you. I was praying for you in the Mass. So I'll be praying for you tonight. But you just have to open up your heart to God's grace. And once you learn how to pray and you have the desire to pray, I promise you it's going to change your life radically. Mm-hmm. But the other side of the coin, if we don't take prayer seriously, we're all destined to mediocrity. Yep. I know that's strong language, and if you know what the word mediocrity means, no? He who does not go take prayer seriously and try to go deep, you're going to be a mediocre Catholic. Like almost all Catholics. That's why the church is in this state. You know what the Bible says about that? Revelation chapter 3, another biblical verse, if you like. You're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Strong language, huh? Almost sounds like a New Yorker wrote that one, huh? Neither hot nor cold, lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Strong lingo, huh? So my hope, my prayer is when you do these exercises, when you finish this course, you're going to really have a God experience and you'll really recognize the value of prayer. The value of prayer. Augustine puts it this way in a very poetic way. He who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. Amen? Must be really beautiful in Latin, huh? In the Latin. He who prays well, lives well. He who lives well, dies well. He who dies well, all is well. In my radio program, they start off with this in Spanish, no? What air is to the lungs, prayer is to the soul. You got that? What air is to the lungs, prayer is to the soul. When I was 11 or 12, I swam my first mile when I was 12. I could swim underwater for about a minute. No? There in Jersey, no? And then when I come up, after swimming a minute after, boy, that sweet is that air. So we should be longing for prayer more than that air that you're breathing after you've been a minute underneath the water. Longing for God. Then we're going to, if you're warmed up, we give you the text. The texts are going to be double. We're going to be giving a biblical text, and then we're going to be giving a commentary written on the text, written by yours truly. Okay? So read. And as a prayer method, I would suggest what Pope Benedict XVI gives in his document Verbum Domini, and it's called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina, in which the Pope gives you these words in Latin. Lectio. Meditatio. Contemplatio, oratio, actio. And I like to add a baker's dozen, transformatio. It's almost like Spanish. Lectio, you got to read. You read the text. Meditatio. What's that? Maybe you got to read. You got to think about it. The Blessed Virgin Mary, she pondered the Word of God in her heart. Pondered. You Greek scholars, the word in Greek would be to ruminate. You ever see the cow chewing the cud? See one of those cows? Cow chewing the cud. That would be the technical word. Think about it. Think about it again. Go over it. Try to understand it. Ask for light. What does this word mean? In other words, we have to learn how to pray. The grace of God comes first, but we have to do our part too. Contemplatio, what does that mean? You got to use your imagination. Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas says that the mind has three faculties: memory, understanding, imagination. Yep. Got to use your memory. The topic, understanding. Penetrate the truth. In imagination, imagine that you're with Jesus Christ. You're with the Blessed Mother. And then oratio. What's that? You got to pray. Talk to Jesus. Talk to him in your own words. It doesn't have to be a Shakespearean English, too. You don't have to impress the Lord. It doesn't have to be a Florentine Italian of the time of Dante to impress the Lord. It doesn't have to be a perfect Tagalog. Talk to the Lord from your heart. Peter says, cast your cares upon the Lord because he watches over you. That's oratio. Axio, what is that? Going from prayer to action. From prayer to action, you want to bring the fruits of your prayer into your life. Perfect example, the Annunciation and the Visitation. The Annunciation, Mary is praying. The Visitation, Mary is bringing Jesus to others. Amen? Mary is our model. Yeah. And the last word is transformatio. Now the word transformation. Another biblical verse, are you ready for it? No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Ever hear that one? No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You become a replica of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Amen. So there you have it. So your first meditation tomorrow is going to be Exodus chapter 3, Moses before the burning bush. Chapter 3. So there you are with Moses before the burning bush, and all of a sudden you see this burning bush. The bush is on fire, but it's not being consumed, and Moses draws close, and he hears the word, Moses, Moses, take your sandals off. You're walking on holy ground. But it's no longer Moses, but you hear your name. And as you draw close, that fire is no longer a fire, but it's the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He says, draw close. Draw closer. Draw closer. And you draw so close that you hear your name, and you're resting on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. His heart is on fire with love for you. And there you rest on that. You spend a half hour on what you're resting on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it all started by Moses, who actually becomes you. And becomes you too, and you too. You're Moses. And you're resting on that fire of infinite love. And the hour goes by like that. Before you know, it's already an hour. And God has decided to embrace you in his heart. And you get up with peace and joy. You're no longer the same person. You're aware that God really loves you. You've heard already 100 times, but it's just been up here. It's going from your head to your heart. What happens if you have an experience like that every day for 10 weeks? Probably going to die of love.
Sounds good to me.
You know, it may not happen every day, but even if it happens one time in 10 weeks, it's going to change your life. But you can have an encounter with God. Only God can change us. We can't change ourselves. Only God can change us. So there you have an example of a meditation. And you're going to be finishing. And after you finish, write down for about 5 minutes what happened to you in that period of prayer. That's called revision. Revision, have the word revision. The prefix is re, then vision, okay? You're going to be writing it down, and then So every meditation will be end by you writing down, how did God speak to you? So when you come next week and you break up into your groups, you say, well, you know, that meditation really seemed to hit me was Moses before the burning bush, and I became Moses, and I really felt that God was speaking to me, and he had a very personal, loving relationship with me, and I talked to him from the depths of my heart, and I got up filled with peace and joy. And I just, for the first time in my life, I really believe that God loves me. You share that with a group. So everyone is going to be sharing. And by sharing, it's an act of charity because all of you have a different prayer mode, style, experience. None of us are the same. God speaks to us all in a different way. And Teresa of Avila says, you'll learn how to pray by praying. It's not only common sense, huh? You learn how to pray by praying. You learn how to walk by walking. As we say, practice makes perfect, right? So the only way you're going to learn how to pray, you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to give time. Time, effort, energy, goodwill, guided by Mary and the Holy Spirit, you got a winner. You got a winner. Okay, so I'd like to conclude then going through the foundation of these exercises, which is called principle and foundation. Okay? Principle and foundation. So every day this week, in addition to your biblical passage, you're going to be reading through principle and foundation. It's the why of your existence. So trying to be succinct and to the point. We all have a philosophy of life. We all have a philosophy of life. Most people have a false philosophy. And one of the most predominant, as I mentioned an hour ago, would be that of materialism. Materialism means you try to acquire as much as you possibly can. This is what Ignatius says. We are created to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that, to save our souls. I repeat, we are created to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, and by means of that, to save our soul. So everything you do in your life should be motivated by that short phrase. Everything in your life should be motivated. Am I praising God? Am I reverencing God? Am I serving God? Is this going to help me to get to heaven? One of the most used word in the American English language is love. If I had to ask all of you to write a two-page composition on love, I think we'd have 50 different papers. Myself, before writing it, I would give a definition. Having studied with the Dominicans, before you talk about something, define what you're going to talk about. You know Thomas Aquinas' definition of love is? Do you know? I'll tell you. It's love is willing the good of the other. That's Thomas Aquinas' definition. What is the summum bonum? What is the maximum good? The greatest good of another is the salvation of his soul. Now, as parents, do you love your children? Más o menos, huh? Más o menos, no? You know, parents, I mean, you love your children, but obviously you dedicate much more time helping them with their material needs than their spiritual. But it should be the other way around. No, food, clothing, and shelter, and you provide for that. How many parents would have teenagers and bring them to confession every week? I would do it. I'm not a biological father. I've been teaching confirmation teenage boys for more than a quarter of a century. They're exposed to so many temptations that we didn't have 50 years ago. If you really love them, bring them to Christ through confession every week. You can have a free week for Thanksgiving. Bring them to Mass every day so they can receive the Eucharist. The parents that really love their kids, they bring them to confession, the Eucharist, and the Rosary as often as possible. That's love. Because that's going to help them to get to heaven. Is that true or not? Yeah. This is principle and foundation. This is principle and foundation. You got your teenagers, they're going to be going to college. Where are you going to send them? We have a lot of immigrants here from the Philippines and from Mexico. Do you know that most of the kids that go to school today in this country, the university, they end up by losing their faith when they go to college? Most. Not all. A lot of immigrants are here saying, before you send your kid to college, send them to me or to Father Larry, one of the priests here. We got more experience than you. Father Larry went to Princeton. I went to Villanova. We have a little bit of experience. I mean, we're kind of oldies. I went in the 70s, no? But we can kind of coach you through that. Hmm? This is related to principle and foundation. Your daughter's going to get married. The most important decision in her life. Is that husband going to help her to get to heaven with her children? I've never heard a couple come to me yet, Father, I want to marry her because she's going to help me get to heaven. Haven't heard that in 30 years. I should hear it though. If they've done their spiritual exercise, I'm going to choose that woman because she's a woman of God. She wants to have a big family, and both of us want to bring all the kids to heaven. We're going to do all we possibly can. That's principle and foundation. So if you do the exercise as well, it's going to influence, it's going to imbue and permeate your whole life. Your whole life. So before your daughter decides to send out the application for maybe Stanford or Berkeley or Princeton or Yale, well, I think if she goes there, is she going to lose her soul in the process? Let her go to Cerritos or Cal State Long Beach, huh? No offense, no?
Stay local.
Be a local yokel, as my dad would say, okay? A local yokel, yeah. Better get, you know, a degree here, you know, instead of one of the big guns on the East Coast, then end up by going there, and then she loses her faith in the process. This is principle and foundation. Got it? It's principle and foundation. So everything I do as a priest is this going to help people to get to heaven? Why not pray as a result of these exercises that you'll be instrumental in bringing a million souls to heaven? Why not? What did Jesus say to St. Faustina? Ask with bold confidence. We receive little because we ask for little. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will knock and the door will be
open.
Whoever asks, whoever seeks, whoever knocks, they... We receive little because we ask for little. Really, if you do these exercises well, you're really generous, God is going to help you to become great saints. Do you believe it?
Yes.
And I don't say that as a pious platitude or a cliche, but in reality. And you know, we got one life to live. Life is pretty darn short. I've thought about this lately. If I live to be 80, I've already lived more than 75% of my life. I'm near the other part of the bridge. And I'm keenly aware of that. The clock is ticking. Will I live to be 80? I don't know. Maybe not. But if I do, I've already finished more than 75% of my life. And I thought about this. 40 years ago, I graduated from the university this year. It seems like yesterday. 1978. Seems like yesterday. Time goes by so quickly. So quickly. As the poet says, our life is like the lily of the field that rises in the morning and it dies as the sun goes down. St. Augustine says, our life in comparison with eternity is a blink of the eye. I saw you blink. Our life in comparison with eternity is a blink of the eye. You know what our Lady Fatima said to Jacinta? If we would think about eternity, we'd be converted just like that. Our Lady Fatima. Mary Claret. We would think about eternity, we'd be converted. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So these exercises are going to help us to focus on what's most important. You want the biblical verse? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else will be given you beside. Amen?
Amen.
What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world if he loses his soul? That's principle and foundation. The first part. The second part of principle and foundation is to use properly the goods of creation. All that God created is good. We can either use it or we can abuse it. Yep. We can either use it or abuse it. Everything good, everything God created is good. If you have the clash, you went to McDonald's, you had 10 hamburgers, that's too much. Nothing wrong with the 10 hamburgers, but there's something wrong with the person eating the 10 hamburgers. No? It's abusing creation. Nothing wrong with having relations with your spouse, but with someone else, that's wrong, right? You can apply, that's called the law of tantum quantum, using things with a proper purpose, a proper intention for the honor and glory of God. Now the last part of principle and foundation is called holy indifference. Now holy indifference is not what you might think it is. Indifference being apathy, it's not that. But rather holy indifference is a total openness to God's will. In Spanish it's called la plena disponibilidad, the total openness to God's will. Which you don't prefer, you ready? Don't prefer a long life to a short life. Don't prefer health to sickness. Don't prefer, are you ready? Riches to poverty. Uh-oh. Don't prefer honors to humiliations. Didn't want to hear that, did you? But to choose what is most conducive for the end for which you're created, which is the honor and glory of God and to save your soul. That's principle and foundation. That's principle and foundation. And we end with holy indifference. Everything we say, we do in our lives has to be done to glorify God and to help us to get to heaven. That's why we're here. So I'm going to be praying for you all tonight that these exercises are going to be, these 10 weeks are going to be the best weeks in your life. Amen?
Amen.
What a great time to do the exercises, because we're going to be going through Thanksgiving. By praying, we want to be thanking God for all that we've been given. We're going to be going through the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which is the patroness of the United States as well as the Philippines. We're going to be celebrating Our Lady of Guadalupe. What a beautiful way to honor Our Lady of Guadalupe, by praying, imitating Mary, by meditating upon the Word of God in her heart. We're going to be celebrating Christmas Eve and Christmas. As Jesus was born in the stable of Bethlehem, he wants to be born in the very depths of your heart. And January 1st is the beginning of the new year in which we celebrate Mary, the Mother of God. So I really believe you've chosen the best time to do these exercises. So let us say with the psalmist, give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. So as I promised, I'd like to give you a blessing with a first-class relic of St. Ignatius. This is a part of, this is a little piece of the bone of St. Ignatius Loyola. I'd like all of you to receive the blessing. So all of you will be really faithful in doing these exercises as best as you possibly can. Please stand. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And
through the intercession of Mary, the Mother of God, and St. Ignatius Loyola, may God bless you during these 10-week exercises with a lot of light, a lot of peace, a lot of love, a lot of joy, long life and eternal life, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless you, and have a great week.
Thank you.
Okay, now Mary's going to just sit down for a couple minutes. Mary has a few things to say to give you your material, and we'll see you next week.